Lizzie came out of the library and stopped on the steps. Her bag weighed a ton. She wouldn't have minded, but they weren't her books. They were her Gran's books, and what Gran liked was romantic historical novels. She got through several a week, in large print, which meant the books were enormous. Lizzie came every fortnight to change them. She didn't know why she did it, except she felt sorry for Gran, who was 80 and had started to go a bit funny in the head. Lizzie stuck a hand inside the bag, trying to shift the hard corners of the books. Instead, her hand met an unexpected object. She pulled it out of the bag, sighing. It was the 4D glasses. The 4D glasses had been a birthday present from her little brother. Every year, he bought her a rubbish present from a joke shop. When he was 7, this was cute, but he was 24 now. So when, over her birthday drinks, he'd proudly presented her with the 4D glasses, complete with 99p price tag, she'd said, "Ha ha, very funny." "What's the fourth dimension?" one of Lizzie's friends demanded. "Time," said David, who made a point of telling everyone he'd got a first in physics. At which point she'd got distracted by something much more interesting, shoved the glasses in her bag, and forgotten them. Till now. The 4D glasses weren't red and green like regular 3D glasses. They were milky white on one eye, and an odd, yellowy shade of purple on the other. Idly, she put them on. The council house vanished, and a woolly mammoth stood there, chewing on a clump of vegetation. Startled, Lizzie stepped back and fell over the library steps. The glasses fell off. Lizzie dusted herself off, embarrassed. She began to walk down the street. She held up the glasses, trying to see if there was a picture on the inside of the film. She couldn't see any. How did it work? She put the glasses on again. She could feel the normal pavement under her shoes, but what she could see was a muddy causeway made of wood. In the distance, where the dock should be, were muddy riverbanks and a gaggle of tiny ships. Up the causeway, a procession was approaching, led by a woman in bedraggled finery. She wore a crown on her head, but the crown was askew, and a fur cloak seemed to drag her shoulders backwards. She looked weary, as if the weight was too much for her. Behind came a gaggle of hard-faced, stocky men. Lizzie could see the metal studs in their belts, the thick wool and creased leather cloaks. They looked really real. She didn't know why, but she stood aside as they passed. She shivered and removed the glasses. The street looked ordinary now with the parked cars and flats. She shook the glasses, trying to find where batteries might be concealed. This was too weird. It had never occurred to her that they'd actually work. She got to Partition Street and put the glasses on again. The street was lit with a ferocious orange light and the sky filled with smoke. Overhead, the dark shape of a plane hurtled southwards. Down in the docks, explosions blossomed like giant flowers. She waited for the noise, the tremors passing through the ground, but couldn't hear a single thing. What she heard was her own time, the noise of passing cars. She took off the glasses and crossed the road. Seeing the bombs made her think of Gran again. Last week, she'd had Lizzie looking for a photo of Uncle Albert, Gran's brother who'd died in the war. Lizzie couldn't find the photo. Gran said it was a shame and had given Lizzie a boiled sweet and said she shouldn't tell anyone because it was a state secret, but Uncle Albert had been undercover. Then she'd fallen asleep with her mouth open. Lizzie's mum had got cross about this. She said there wasn't any photo of poor Uncle Albert, who'd been in the Merchant Navy and whose ship had been sunk. Lizzie's mum said it was Lizzie's fault for letting Gran read The Scarlet Pimpernel, which wasn't suitable for an old lady, and that it was okay for Gran to eat boiled sweets because she hadn't had her own teeth since 1973, but she didn't approve of Lizzie eating them. She said Gran was getting senile, then she'd gone in the kitchen and cried. Lizzie thought her mum was right. Gran was mixing Uncle Albert up with some character from a book. She thought people generally did get quite confused about the past. She didn't like all that history stuff herself. Always found it boring. She was more of a sci-fi kind of girl. Once, she'd read a story about a man who goes back in time, treads on an ant, and changes history. What if she did something like that? Change the timeline, upset the equilibrium. But then she thought she was confusing Star Trek with Doctor Who and something else. Anyway, if she couldn't hear the past, she wasn't there, was she? She was just looking in from outside. All this was starting to do her head in. She felt weird. Maybe she'd nip into the Bag of Nails for a quick drink. Actually, the Bag of Nails looked pretty old. Wouldn't it be cool to have a look at the old Bag of Nails? The new, well, whatever it was. She put on the glasses. The row of buildings with the Bag of Nails was still there, except it was different. It was black and white with overhanging windows. There was a poster plastered to the wall. It was for some play or other. One of those things you had to study in school. Geez, didn't they ever show anything new? Still, it must have been more popular back then, because another bit of paper, saying sold out, had been pasted over it. Outside the Bag of Nails, a man sprawled on a bench, clutching a tankard, wearing boots and those puffy Elizabethan shorts. He looked a little familiar, though she couldn't exactly place him. He looked a little smug, in a hungover sort of way. Another man came out of the pub, clutching two bowls of stew. Lizzie wished she could smell it. She liked a nice stew, especially with dumplings. Then she noticed a thin stream of sewage trickling along the road and changed her mind. The man put the bowls down. He was probably the handsomest man she had ever seen. Just then, a young woman carrying bread came out of the inn, rearranged her dress to show more cleavage, and bent over, giving him the full benefit. "Oi," said Lizzie idly. "I saw him first." None of them seemed to hear. Another woman, clearly the mother of the first one, came out. Lizzie thought she'd tell the girl off, but the older woman smiled, simpered, and patted her skirts flirtatiously. "Duh," said Lizzie, disgusted. She stormed off. Well, she meant to. There was a blast from a horn, and something passed inches from her face. Chastened, Lizzie put the glasses on her forehead and crossed the road. There was a bus going round the roundabout. The driver gave her a dirty look and shook his head, sadly. Lizzie pretended not to notice the passengers staring. Once across, she slipped the glasses on. Two boys in boater hats came towards her, clutching striped towels. One kept flicking the other with a towel. Just then, a young woman in a long skirt and impractically large hat came past on a bicycle. Lizzie would never have cycled in that skirt. It looked dangerous. A car came past, an open car with four young men inside. They veered towards the young woman, laughing. Lizzie could see their stupid mouths open. The bicycle wobbled, and the woman fell off onto the cobbles. "Bastards!" shouted Lizzie. The young woman got up. She'd cut her hand. Lizzie could see her, angrily dabbing it with a handkerchief. Lizzie was about to run over and help when she remembered the buses. She put the glasses in her pocket and crossed the road. It took ages for the lights to change. She couldn't help wondering if it might have been easier to run across, like you did a century ago. She put the glasses back on, but the woman with the bicycle had gone. It was strange. The glasses didn't seem to show anything in any sort of order. They just jumped around randomly. Then again, they were from a joke shop. Maybe it was like a kaleidoscope. You just shook them and you got a different picture. Right now, a man carrying a kit bag was coming towards her. He had his arm in a sling and looked like the most tired person she had ever seen, ever. "Are you all right?" said Lizzie. The man passed by, so close she expected to feel him brushing her, but she felt nothing. She hit herself on the forehead. "Do not attempt to talk to anybody," she said. "They cannot hear you." Lizzie's mum always complained when Lizzie talked to strangers, but Lizzie couldn't help it. She was that sort of person. She stared at the buildings that ran along Hartwell's Road. There were shops and cafes in almost every building. She wouldn't mind a cup of tea, and maybe a sandwich, or actually a large gin and tonic. It wasn't too early, was it? It must be about 1917. She could see it on a poster stuck to a tree. Was 1917 too early for gin and tonic? Oh no, she couldn't really enter any of those shops or cafes, could she? She'd just go slap into a locked doorway. That made her feel kind of lonely. She took the glasses off. What was she doing? She was getting confused. Oh yeah, she needed a drink. She walked up to the grain barge and down the gangway. She wondered idly what the boat would have looked like when it was really a grain barge. She just slipped the glasses on. She was standing on the deck of a sailing ship. Forests of masts stretched in either direction. Three men sat on ship's hatches. One was writing in a big red book. A woman lay in a hammock, one stocking leg flung over the side, showing a good deal of thigh. She wore dirty lace and silk. Lizzie had never seen anyone write with a quill pen before. She watched over the man's shoulder. At first, she was entranced by the strokes and curls of the pen. It looked like the accounts of a voyage. So many guns and pots, so much rum and sugar, and... Lizzie could see him writing among the goods, so many female slaves, and so many males. "Oi," she said, "you're out of order." I beg your pardon," said a voice. She shoved the glasses up her forehead and realised she was standing in the grain barge. A completely blameless man was staring at her. So was everybody else. Oh no, she turned into a lunatic woman. Mortified, she ran out. As she got to the dockside, she tripped and the glasses fell over her nose. There was a train. She didn't have time to avoid it. It went straight through her. She couldn't feel anything, just see the blackness of the wagons. Then it was gone. She took off the glasses. A passerby gave her a strange look. "You all right, love?" he inquired. "Fine," said Lizzie. "Just survived the Blitz, met some dead celebrities, seen the Queen, went on a slave ship, and got run over by a train. Oh, and there was a mammoth, too." Said the man. "Would you like me to call someone?" "No, thanks," said Lizzie. "I just need a drink." Oh, she couldn't go back in the grain barge. Where was the next pub? It must be the pump house. "I could call the police," called the man. "No," said Lizzie, heading off along the dockside. "The Samaritans?" "No need." "Alcoholics Anonymous?" "No!" Lizzie stomped off. She put the glasses in her pocket. She could feel the books weighing her down. She couldn't understand why Gran wanted to read about the past all the time. For her money, there was way too much past round here. Enough to make you want to move somewhere with no past at all. Somewhere like Milton Keynes. Somewhere where she could put on the glasses and there'd just be fields, buttercups, trees, that kind of thing. But then, she thought, there'd probably be some big-eyed rabbit looking like it felt nostalgic for the Ice Age. The Ice Age! She slipped the glasses on. The brown water of the docks turned cobalt blue. On the far bank, marsh grasses broke out of icy water. A bird rose from the rushes into a cloudless sky. "Wow," she said. "Awesome." She took off the glasses as the light hurt her eyes. A kid on a skateboard trundled past. "Thanks," he said, a little smugly. Lizzie sighed. She shook the glasses. How did they work? What about the white and purpley-yellow film? Was it coated with something special? Or could you just go down the craft shop and manufacture your own pair? Lizzie was the kind of person who asked these questions. Why, if time travel was possible, and you fancied toast at midnight but found the bread was finished, wouldn't you just nip back in time to get a loaf before the shop closed? Why was it always about galaxy-shattering events? Why wouldn't it be about small things? After all, if the past was full of people doing exactly what people do, wouldn't the future be the same? She had an idea. The 4D glasses were showing her the past, right? She reversed them, so she was looking from outside in. She was about to look, then realised she couldn't face it. What if there was water right over her head? Surely not. She'd given a tenner to Greenpeace at Christmas. Wouldn't that stop it? She panicked and put the glasses on right way round. The ice had gone. On the far side of the water, huge ships were being constructed. The place was one great mass of cranes and boats and smoke. There was a man walking along the dockside, wearing a thick dark overcoat and woolly hat, walking away from her. She couldn't say why. He looked familiar. Something about his walk. Nah, she was imagining it. That was a depressing thing about the past. It was full of strangers. She went over the little footbridge. She could feel it under her feet. If she looked through the glasses, though, there was just water below. She lifted the glasses slightly, ran across the bridge. She felt better when she could see hard stuff under her feet, in this time and the other. Except in this one, she could see tarmac, and the other was cobbles. She looked for the man in the overcoat, but he'd gone. She must have shifted time again, because there were still boats, but these looked older, not so big, more steam than oil. The thing that really caught her eye was the hillside behind. The houses scarcely seemed to have changed, but they were so grey. Coal dust clung over everything, sagging roofs and dirty washing hung across the lanes. Dear me, they wouldn't have liked those filthy petticoats, not in the vicinity of Clifton, would they? Right in front of her, a man and a boy were working together to hammer a piece of metal into shape. The boy said something, and the man patted the lad on the shoulder, and then he spat. She could see the spit, with a bit of blood in it, next to the boy's foot. A woman came along the dock and gave the man a plate covered in a dirty napkin. He put his arm round the woman's waist. There were 5 boiled potatoes in the dish, and man and boy ate them, squashing them cheerfully in their filthy fingers. No wonder her gran wanted made-up stuff, thought Lizzie. Fancy frocks and balls and highwaymen. It wasn't like the real past at all. The real past was dirt and disease and people selling each other. She hated the past. It was awful. Thank God she lived in modern times. The woman dropped the napkin over the plate and began to walk away. Lizzie followed a few steps. She could see the street, a rope shop and a greengrocer's and a man with a barrow selling pies, and children chasing a cat over the cobblestones. She could feel her eyes welling up. Who was she kidding? She hated the present, all those shut doors and whizzing cars. It was all so dreadfully lonely. She couldn't stand it watching people living their lives out in the open, lousing and squabbling and making things. Things that mattered. Look at them with their stupid wars and women's rights and industrial revolutions. Nothing she did would ever be that important. These glasses were doing her head in. What was she doing? Oh, yeah, a drink. She needed a drink. Hold the thought, she told herself. Gin and tonic. On a grimy wall in front of her, a poster said, "Gin, a nation's ruin." Oh, shut up, she shouted and ripped off the glasses. A mother pushing a pram gave her an odd look. What am I doing? She moaned. She went on, towards the tower of the pump house. Gin and tonic. Her steps fell into rhythm. Gin and tonic. Do not put the glasses on. Gin and tonic. Do not... Oh, go on. She couldn't help peeking. It was addictive. It was like looking through someone else's knicker drawer. The wrongness was what made it irresistible. There was the man again, the one she thought she recognised. He glanced behind as if he didn't want to be followed. She hesitated. She didn't know why. It wasn't like he could see her, could he? He lit a cigarette, climbed up to the bridge, and stood, looking back towards the city. Lizzie looked around. Up the hill were flattened, crushed buildings. The boats in the harbour were grey. A strange pallor hung over everything. Lizzie's eyes started to hurt. These glasses were making her blind. She took them off and stood on the bridge. She didn't know what to think about anything. She looked across the bridge. Someone was standing there. It was the man in the greatcoat. He was looking for her. She blinked. He was gone. No, she couldn't be seeing him because she wasn't wearing the glasses. Oh, God, she was going mad. She put the glasses on and he wasn't there. A whiff of something burnt came to her nostrils. A barbecue, right? She made her way across the bridge. The Nova Scotia was in front of her, blackout curtains dusty in the daylight. She looked left towards the slipway. There was a boat moored there, an ordinary fishing boat. There was the man again, smoking on the dockside. She went closer. She could hear a sound like somebody trying to start an engine. The man finished his cigarette and flicked the butt into the water. He took a scrap of paper out of a pocket, read it and lit it with a match. He waited till it burnt and dropped it in the water. Lizzie went a bit closer. Oddly, he looked up. His eyes were very blue. "Uncle Albert?" she said. She was sure it was him. The eyes were the same as her grandmother's. Uncle Albert did something strange. He put both his hands under his coat, to the back of his belt, and rocked on his heels. "Is there somebody there?" She heard him. She was sure she'd heard him. She stuck both fingers in her ears and wiggled them. Uncle Albert put out his hands and began feeling around like a blind man. She didn't know why. She put out a hand. She could see it in the same space he moved in, only thin and insubstantial. Uncle Albert's hand caught her coat sleeve. With the other, he pulled a gun from his belt. He stared at her. His face changed. It went from suspicion to astonishment. He looked at her and put the gun away. "Don't go," she said. Uncle Albert just shook his head. He put his hand on her face for a moment. Then someone came out on the deck of the boat behind him, and he looked at her once and turned away. He strode off and climbed the gangplank, and the man on deck flipped it up. The boat began to move away from the dock. She heard the engine, thud, thud, thud. Lizzie ran after him. She opened her mouth to shout something, she didn't know what, and something thumped her in the stomach. The 4D glasses fell off, and she was leaning over a railing, winded, and the glasses fell into the water. She saw them sinking, as if in slow motion, and the water swallowed them. There was a ferry passing. She heard the engine, thud, thud, thud. She stood there, trying to breathe. She couldn't even remember what day it was. What was she doing? Only the weight of the books on her back reminded her. Oh yeah, books. Fetching books for her grandmother. Geez, she needed a drink. She went into the Nova Scotia and settled at the bar. "Large gin and tonic," she said. The barman gave her a funny look. Lizzie clutched the drink. She couldn't think about anything. She didn't want to look like a lunatic, staring wildly into space, so she got one of Gran's books out of the bag. The book fell open. Pushed into the pages was a photograph. It was Uncle Albert. He must have been about 19, and her grandmother about 7. There was the suspension bridge and the gorge behind them, and it must have been sunny. They looked happy, even in black and white. "You're all right, love," said the barman. "Honey, you look like you've seen a ghost." She put the photograph in her pocket and closed the book. "Yeah," she said, "something like that."